So there are two parshos this week. We're gonna discuss the second of the two, Parshas Bechukosai. And we're mostly going to spend our time with one pasuk, trying to understand a debate between two Tanaitic sages and how they read a particular pasuk. And we begin Parshas Bechukosai with Hashem telling Klal Yisrael that if you observe my chukim, my laws, then you'll get all this reward. And one of the rewards is in Perachavav Pasukvav. Vinasati shalom ba'aretz, and I will bring peace to the land. Ushchavtem, you go to sleep, ein machridos, no fear. Vishbati chaya ra min aretz, and I will cause wild animals to cease from the land. V'cherv lo savor ba'aretzachem, and there will be no sword that will pass in your land. So when Hashem is promising that he will cause a chaya ra'ah to hishpati, to be shavat, to cease. So what does that mean in your view? But what is he going to do? What do you think it means he's going to do?
I mean, shabbat could be like rest. That he's, this chaya ra'ah is just like hang out.
So in other words,
it's not going to bother. Shabbat doesn't mean cease shabbat. Because he's from work.
He's causing them to. So what do you think it means that they're.
Shabbat is like you stop doing what you're doing. So the chaya is just going to stop bothering you.
So the chaya, there will be these wild animals. They're going to be walking around, but they're going to be stop bothering you. What else could it mean? What else could it mean?
No more chaya ra'ah in your land.
What?
Maybe no more chaya ra'ah.
Right, so maybe no chaya ra'ah in the land. So the Sifra cites this debate. Vishpati chaya ra'ah min ha'aretz. Rabbi Huda Omer, Maviram min ha'olam. According to Rabbi Huda, Hashem will cause them to, he will get rid of them from the world. Again, maybe it doesn't have to be actually from the world, by the way. I mean, he says from the world. But it could simply be from maybe Eretz Yisrael, min ha'aretz. But okay. But he's going to remove them from, they're going to cease to exist. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mashpisam shelo yizoku. Hashem will cause them not to harm. He will cause them to cease so they won't harm you. Which do you think is the bigger miracle? Rabbi Huda or Rabbi Shimon?
Not hurt you.
What?
The biggest miracle is that the animals will not really hurt you. Will not really be
right.
Animals that can, they will be mild. They will not be
right.
So they will not be consumed.
Right. So Rabbi Shimon is basically, well, according to Rabbi Shimon, what's Hashem going to do? He's going to change the nature of the animals. According to Rabbi Huda, he's just going to sort of make them, just someone who's chat should just make sure to be on mute. Maybe I'll just mute everyone. So according to, I'm just going to mute everyone. Obviously, when you have what to say, then you should feel free to unmute yourself. So according to Rabbi Shimon, it's clearly something supernatural because it's changing their nature. According to Rabbi Yehuda, he's simply causing them not to be around. So is that an open miracle, closed miracle? We'll try to develop that idea. So the Sifra continues. I'm Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Shimon says, "A masai hu shivcho shel makom bizman she'ein mazikim bizman she'es mazikim ve'ein mazikim." Rabbi Shimon says, when is there greater praise to Hashem? When there's nothing to harm us, or at a time when there are these creatures that harm us, but they don't harm us? Emor, I would say, Bizman Shiyesh Maziki Ve Maziki, I would say at a time where there are these creatures that could harm us, but they don't. V'cheinu Omer, Mizmor Shir Liyom HaShabbos. We say it's a psalm, a song for the day of Shabbos. So the Yom HaShabbos, we're going to give a song to HaKadosh Baruch Hu on a day of Shabbat. But Hashem causes those who want to harm us that they should no longer harm us. And he cites, the Sifra cites the Pasuk in Yeshayahu, V'cheinu Omer, V'gar ze'ev im keves, V'nar katon nohegbam, that in the future, in the Messianic era, what's going to happen? The wolf shall lie down with the lamb, and a young child will lead them. V'shiasha yonik al-chur pesed v'al-ma'ura sifoni gemul yado hada. Child, what does that mean? It's just sort of like a child will be playing with the poison, the venom of a venomous snake or serpent. And melamed shetinok miyisrael asi lahoshias yadol toch galgal eno shel tzifoni. Then in the future, a Jewish child will stick his hand into the venomous eye of the viper, motzi mara mitoch biv. It's going to take venom from his mouth. And so what does it mean, gumul yado hada? Zeh chaya ha'oregas el-zabrios. This refers to a wild animal that kills people. So in other words, the Sifra, or Rabbi Shimon, is understanding it, that this prophetic statement in Yeshayahu about in the future, that the wolf shall lie with the lamb, he's understanding that literally, that the nature of the wild animals will change. They will be peaceful in the future. So the question is, so clearly Rabbi Shimon understands that the Messianic era is going to be something miraculous, otherworldly. Not so clear exactly what Rabbi Yehuda's position. He just says they're not going to be around. Will this be miraculous? Not miraculous. So the Meshech Chachma, he, in a very fascinating way, the Meshech Chachma ties this debate between Rabbi Shimon and Rabbi Yehuda to a famous debate between Rabbi Yishmael and Rabbi Shimon Yochai, the learner-earner kolel debate. He ties that debate to this debate here. Says the Meshech Chachma, the Torah's Kodim, Yehuda Omer, Hinani Mavro Min Olam. The Torah's Kodim, the Sifra, it says, Yehuda says, I'm going to get rid of them from the world. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Mashbi Sam Shlo Yaziku. He's going to simply make them cease their harmful activities. They won't harm others. Amar Rabbi Shimon, says, Emaso Yeshivcha Shomako Mizman She'em Mizikim, Mizman She'esh Mizikim, Eim Mizikim, Emor Mizman She'esh Mizikim, Eim Mizikim. So he cites the Sifra, Rabbi Shimon says, the greater praise for Hashem is when there are harmful creatures, but they don't cause harm. Ha'inyan Muvan, he says, the idea is understood. Rabbi Shimon Koyle Tameh, Rabbi Shimon is Lishitasa, Rabbi Shimon here is following his position elsewhere. And Rabbi Yehuda, Sarak Rabbi Yishmael, Rabbi Yehuda holds like Rabbi Yishmael, did not be Sifri, because we learned in the Sifri, Umaisi Labit Brachos Daf Labit Hamad Beis. Famous Gemara, Mesechus Brachos Daf Labit Hamad Beis, Tanur Rabbana, Rabbis teach. Via Satu Ganecha, it says, in the second paragraph of Kriyashom, we're going to gather our grain. Is it lachatchila or is that b'diavad? Is that ideal that we should be gathering our grain? That we should be working for a living? Matam alomar, why does the Pasuk say this? Lefishanemar, because the Pasuk says in Sefer Yoshua, lo yomush Sefer Torah zemipicha, that this Sefer Torah should not leave your lips. Yochol dvarim kichsava, maybe I would say this like the way it's written. In other words, you have to learn Torah day and night, and you shouldn't be involved in anything else. Tam alomar via safta digadecha. So the Torah says, no, you should gather your grain. Hanig bahem minag derech eretz. You should accord yourself like the way of the land. You should earn a living, according to Rabbi Shmuel. Shmuel says you should learn Torah, but you should also earn a living. You should farm, and you should harvest, and you should grow crops. And you should act normally, like how, and then naturally. Shimon Yochai disagrees. Efsharim Choris Bishas Charisha, Vazareh Bishas Zariah, Vakota Bishas Katsir, Vadat Bishas Disha, Vazar Bishas Ruach. If a person's always engaging in agriculture and farming, Torah Mate Ela, what's going to be with Torah? Ela Bizman Shi Yisrael Osim Ritzon Shemalkam, at a time when Klai Yisrael are doing the will of God, Malachtam Nasiz Al Deachim, their work will be done by others. Bizman Shi En Yisrael Osim Ritzon Shemalkam, Malachtam Nasiz Al Deatzman, when they don't do the will of God, when they're not the highest level, then they will have to do their own work. You have to gather your grain. So Rabbi Shimon Yochai says that for us to work, to earn a living, it's not the ideal. Vitamutosis asks the question, Daha Vahaya im Shema Tishmu Ksiva. That I don't understand. It says in the paragraph, in the second paragraph of Kriyat Shema, and it will be if you listen to the words of Hashem, via Safta Ganecha, you gather your grain. So like, what does that mean? Like, What it says, you're going to gather grain when you listen to the Torah mitzvos. So Tosis answers, achlok siva b'chol me'otchem. What does it say in the first paragraph of Kriyat Shema? That we should serve Hashem b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, b'chol maldecha. We should serve Hashem with all your heart, with all your soul, and all your money. The second paragraph of Kriyat Shema is good. We're serving Hashem b'chol levavcha, b'chol nafshecha, with all your heart, with all your soul. But we're not serving Hashem with all our money. In other words, it's a level, but it's not the highest level. So the second parable of Kriyat Shema, according to Shema Yochai, is not the highest level. Okay, so you got this. So you have this debate here between how should you live your life. Rabbi Shmuel says, you got to live your life naturally. Rabbi Shema Yochai says, you got to live it like totally Torah, totally spiritual, relying on Kadosh Baruch Hu. So says the Meshech Chachma like this. If you live your life naturally, you're learning, earning, right? Learner, earner, you're working. Okay, you're not clinging to Torah 24/7 because you got to work. Then there's a place that maybe sometimes the mazikim, those who want to harm us, will harm us. Why? That sometimes, if we're living life naturally, then sometimes bad's going to happen to a righteous person. Why? It's impossible that we're constantly clinging to Hashem. Now, there's according to Rabbi Shmuel, you don't have to live. You know, you gotta live in this world. You gotta earn a living, but you gotta live naturally. But there's a price to pay. What's the price? That sometimes we're not going to be fully, you know, in our spiritual world. So therefore, lachein berega shenifsak tvekuso. At the time where we're not clinging to Hashem, when we're trying to earn a living, olu lemikra imraim. So we could get harmed if we're in the field. Again, we're doing what we should be doing, but we're not going to have that extra special protection if we, you know, we're not going to have like a miraculous protection if we're working in the field, if we're not clinging to Hashem. So therefore, l'chein emor mavir men olam. So therefore, Rabbi Yehuda's following this position. That when we're living the ideal world, according to Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Yishmael, is the learner-earner model, which is not, it's not a supernatural model. It means we're earning a living and we're learning Torah. But because of that, we could still be harmed. So what does Hashem have to do? Hashem has to make sure there are no wild animals around us. Because if there are wild animals and we're working, then the animals might harm us. That's Rabbi Yehuda. Of Rabbi Shimon Leshitaso. Rabbi Shimon, according to what his reasoning, Bizman Shisrael Otsi Mitzvot Shal Malko. When Klal Yisrael are engaging in the will of Hashem, the highest level, Hainu Shedvukim Tomi Laboris Sparkly Hefzik. We're always learning. We're not working. Az Eino Milvado Kasu. Then there's no one other than him. We're totally in sync with God. Vehula Malami Olam Ativi. Then we live in a supernatural world. The Eino Olam Azikim Lashum Pegara Chas Vishal. And then what? No one can harm us. Therefore, Hashem will change their nature. Upashit. So, interestingly enough, the Meshech Chachma ties this debate between Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Shimon with the other debate between Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Are we going to live in a supernatural world because we're in a supernatural world, the animals cannot harm us? Or are we going to live in a natural world that we're observing the will of Hashem, but we're living in a natural world, so we're not fully dovok, fully connected to Hashem, so if we're not going to have the supernatural protections, therefore what's Hashem going to do? He's going to simply remove them from the land. That's how the Meshech Chachma understands this. Comes the Ramban. Ramban says, Vishpati chayara mina aretz. So he says a little bit different. He says, Aldas, Meshech Chachma is saying it's a little bit supernatural. Hashem's getting rid of the wild animals because we're not going to be at the highest level, and so therefore he's got to get rid of them. Ramban gives a natural explanation. He says, Rabbi Huda, Shabar Mavir Me'olam, why aren't there going to be wild animals in the world? It's really in the land. Who kipshuto shelo yavo chayos ros partzam? They're not going to be wild animals in the land. Why? Kibios. Hasava uberabos hatova veyos haor maleos adam lo tavodu chayas biyishuv. I don't know if you realize this, walking the streets of Oceanside, you don't see lions and tigers and bears, right? Right? Why not? A lot of dogs, apparently. A lot of dogs, I'm told. But you're not going to have the wild animals. Why? Because the wild animals don't hang out in a society when that's populated by civilization. And in fact, by the way, just to turn down for a second, in Parsha Mishpatim, we're actually told that. Hashem tells Moshe, Logar Hashem b'panecha b'shana achas. Hashem's not going to drive out the locals. You know, when Bnei Yisrael conquered Eretz Yisrael, he's not going to drive out the locals in 1 year. Penti aretz shmama, lest the land be desolate. V'rabba lecha chayas aretz. When do the wild animals come around? When the land is desolate. So the fact that there aren't going to be wild animals in the land, according to Rabbi Yehuda, it's a natural consequence of the land being fully populated by civilization. So Ramban understands Rabbi Yehuda is saying it's totally natural. However, Al Das Rabbi Shimon, Shimon Mashpisam Shlo Yaziku Yomar Vishpati Ra Chayos Mina Aretz. But according to Rabbi Shimon, that's supernatural. And then the Ramban says Ruah Nachon, and that's correct. Ramban is a follower of Rabbi Shimon. Why? Kitia Eretz Yisrael Be'ez Kiyama Mitzvos Kasher Hoya Ha'ola Mitchilos Konim Chet Hashem Rishon. Ramban famously believes that that in the Messianic era we're going to return to the state pre the first sin, pre the sin of Adam Rishon. So Ein Chayav Aremes Meimis Adam, where a wild animal is not, or crawling animals is not going to kill someone. And so this is what, and so, and the Ramban understands that the pasuk is Sheyahu v'shiyashah yonik achor pased upar v'dov tiret v'ayir kabakor yochal tevet, all these psukim in Sefer Yeshayahu, which talks about the lion will lie, or the wolf will lie with the lamb, he understands it literally. That's Rabbi Shimon. That's supernatural. Rabbi Yehuda understands it as a natural world. And in fact, this is a famous debate. The Rambam, famously, in Sefer, in Hilchos Malachim, Perek Yud Beis Halacha Aleph, he says, Al Yale Al Halev Shebimos HaMashiach Yevato Davar Bimin Hagol Shalola. You shouldn't think that in the Messianic era that the nature of the world will change. Oh, Yeshum Chidush B'Maisib Rishis, there'll be something change in the nature of creation. Ela Olam Kimin Hagol Noeg, but the world will follow, though, like its general custom. So what does the Rambam do with Sefer Yeshayahu? V'gar ze'ev im keves, v'nomer im gedi yerbatz. Right? What does he do with that? The wolf shall lie with the lamb, and the leopard with the goat. Mashal v'chida. It's a parable. What does it mean? It's a parable. You know, davar she'yu Yisrael yoshim lebetach im rishay akam ha'mashulim kize'ev v'nomer. Who's the goat? Who's the kid? Right, who's the baby goat? Who's the lamb? That's the Jewish people. And who's the wolf or the leopard? So that's the wicked, the non-Jewish nations who want to destroy us. What's going to happen in the Messianic era? World peace. They're going to make peace with us. Right, Shenemar, Ze'ev, Arvot, Yishadadu, V'nokesh, Shokid Al-Areha, V'yachsaru, Kula V'dasa, Abbas. They're all going to do tshuva. They're all going to agree that to the truth. V'lo yigzalu, v'lo yashchisu, they're not going to steal, they're not going to destroy, yochlu, davar, mutar, benachas, im Yisrael. They're going to eat peacefully, right? They're going to eat foods, things that are permitted, and they're not going to steal, and they're going to be benachas, they're going to be pleasant, they're going to have good relationships with Klal Yisrael. We're going to enter into treaty with Saudi Arabia soon, and believe it or not, at some point in the future, maybe even with Iran, doesn't seem possible now, but the Rambam is saying, in the future, we're going to enter into a peace treaty with everyone. Shenemar v'arye kabakar yochal tevet. Right, it's like the lion, like the cattle will eat straw. V'chein kol koyotzi ba'ila dvar b'iyan ha mashiach heim mishalim. All these things which seem to indicate the change of nature, they're all parables. Uviyamos ha melech ha mashiach yodeh l'kol le'ezeh davar haya mashal. And the days of the Mashiach will be known to everyone, this is all a mashal. The Ravid says, but wait a second, is that really true? The Ravid says, what?
Can't Chayara Av then be the person himself?
What do you mean the person?
The Chayara Av is these people want to kill us. These people.
Yeah, so I don't have Chayara Av.
The Chayara Av is Iran right now. He's going to try to. So he said, in the future, there won't be any more Chayara.
Yeah, so that's the question. So the question, right.
This, it could be a person.
Correct. The question is, the Rambam clearly writes. The Rambam clearly writes that in Yeshayahu, where we talk about the wolf shall lie with the lamb, that's clearly a mashal. Question is, what does the Rambam hold of these psukim? He says, Vishpati, is he saying that this is also a parable, a mashal? He could, by the way, he could easily explain it like Rabbi Yehuda, according to the Ramban, that says that basically there will be no wild animals because naturally they'll be fully populated. So that's what people won't live there. The Rambam doesn't say, as far as I know, explicitly that it's a mashal, but you could say that. But he doesn't say that. And so it's interesting. The Ravid is bothered by the Rambam. What do you mean it's not going to be a miraculous area? Valoba Torah doesn't say in the Torah, Vishpati Chayarabah Mina Aretz. That's going to be miraculous. So, and the Radvaz says that the Ravid, you know, questioned the Rambam. He said, that's not a strong question. He said, this is a mashal. Al umara, exactly what you want to say, Baruch. The Radvaz says that maybe the Rambam holds this pasuk is a mashal. So it's sort of like a third explanation. In other words, it could be one explanation could be he's going to change the nature of the animals. Another explanation can be he's going to remove the animals that no longer live in Eretz Yisrael. Or it could be the way the Radvaz believes the Rambam holds, the way Baruch holds, which is, or the Baruch suggested, which is, it's also a mashal. Because the truth is, if you the beginning of this pasuk is actually about there's going to be peace in the land. So maybe that's talking about, again, the peace refers to society. So it's totally a possibility, right? And the the Merkeves HaMishnah says Ayin HaSogos Nira Kavanosa the Divrei Torah Ein LaFarish Derech Mashal. Merkeves HaMishnah says, yeah, maybe Yeshayahu, maybe the Nevi'im can be understood as a parable, but I don't know if we can understand the Divrei Torah as a parable. That's a good question. Nevi'im always prophesies as parables, as Mishalim, but I don't know if you can say that about the Torah. And he said, Vein Zakusha, it's not a question. The Shapa Mishor Shumad Masam, Vim Yushav. I said, when the Bnei Yisrael are living on the land. And it said, Vahare Ksiv, what is it written? Venasati Morachem, Echitchem, Shachayos, Borchos, Be'a Yishuv. So he's possibly saying, maybe the Ram holds like what? Like Rabbi Yehuda. So there are at least three ways to understand, as I mentioned. What's the Rambam holding? Is the Rambam saying that he's giving his own novel approach, that it's a mashal also, it's a parable, or maybe he's holding like Rabbi Yehuda. So what we've seen so far is the following. Again, Rabbi Shimon, he's like a mystic. He's a mystic. He holds that, right, the Messianic era, it's going to be a supernatural world. He says an ideal world, we should live our lives like mystics. We should live our lives supernaturally. We should be learning Torah all day and night, and God will provide. Like, he's of that kind of school of thought. Thinks the Messianic era will be this kind of supernatural world, right? And so much so, and therefore he interprets also, say for Yeshayahu literally, like it's going to be a supernatural world. Now Rabbi Yehuda, who argues, so what is he holding? He's saying Hashem's going to get rid of, remove the wild animals from the land. So again, you could understand it as partially miraculous, like maybe the way the Meshech Chachma understood, that Hashem wants there to be peace, but if there are animals in the land, we're not always going to be able to be protected for them, because we're not always going to be dovuk, connected to Hashem. So therefore, Hashem will just cause them to go away. Or you could understand a more naturalistic explanation, like the way the Ramban understood Rabbi Yehuda, and like the way the Merkeves HaMishnah understood the Rambam, that basically, when we live in a world of complete peace, and everyone makes aliyah, and the whole land is populated, so the wild animals won't live there naturally. Or, like the way the Radvaz understood, the Rambam is saying, maybe this is also derech mashal. Right? So then you have...
What? The Torah, ayin tachat ayin, doesn't mean that.
Yes.
Different things that don't really mean what it says.
Right, so that's a question. So again, it can there are clearly times where something is not meant to be understood literally. And the question is, when should we try to understand things not literally? So that's an interesting question, right? So that's a question. It could be when there's a Mesorah. It could be Ayin Tachasai, and there is a tradition that wasn't the case. It could be. There might not be a tradition for this. So that's an interesting question. But I want to share with you one final thought, one other way of totally viewing this. So, at the end of the promises, where Hashem says he's going to reward us if we follow His chukim, His laws, at the end he says, "Ani Hashem Elokeichem, I am Hashem your God." Asher otzeisi eschem me'eretz Mitzrayim, that brought you out of the land of Egypt. Mios lahem avadim, that you weren't slaves. I took you out from being slaves. Veshpor motos ulchem. And I remove, I guess, I remove the yokes from your backs. Olech eschem kolmius. And I made you walk kolmius. What's kolmius? The Sifra says, bekomas kufa. I made you walk with your heads held high. straight up, below you, Yireya Mikol Birya. You were not afraid of any other creature. And when I read that, I couldn't help but to think about how the Bnei Yisrael, or how the spies felt when they visited, when they spied the land of Israel. What did they say? Visham in Parsha Shlach, Visham Reinu Etz Anafilim, Bnei Anak, Min Anafilim. That we saw the giants, but he Beinenu Kachagavim. We were like, in our eyes, we felt like grasshoppers, V'chenu Beinenu, and so we were in their eyes. In other words, sometimes you can feel you're small. And what's Hashem telling us? That when we do the right thing, we will walk around and there'll be no fear of us. It may not be that their nature will change, but maybe our nature will change such that the animals will change, but our nature will change such that the animals won't want to attack us. There's the Shemi Shmuel says the following. And he says, V'nirad, it seems. That the form of a man, his head is higher than, you know, different than any other living beings, that they walk, you know, bent over. And we have the image of Hashem on our faces. We have the Shem Hashem Nikra Aleinu, right? We're walking around with Shem Hashem. So what? So every other nation is, or every other creature is afraid of us, right? Kemoshe Kasu, the pasuk says, "Varo call me aretz," and the nations of the world will see ki Shem Hashem Nikra Aleinu, that the name of Hashem is called upon us, right? V'yarumi miaka. So, and they'll be afraid of us. In other words, it's not about others. It's about when we're doing the right thing, then that's it. No one can stop us. But the sins that we have darken the light of the soul. And it bends our stature, and the image of God does not shine brightly in our faces. And the fear leaves us. Akasher nigmar hameruk. When we left, when we were cleansed, v'yatzu b'mitzrayim l'cheir. So we left Egypt to freedom. Cheret olam zakfu et komotam. We straighten up our stature. Ve'ir tzelem elokim shal peneim. And the image of God came bright on our faces. V'chazem aram al olam. And then our fear spread to the whole world. V'imkein enam yireyam mipshum b'riyah. Then we weren't afraid. It's not that nature will change. It's that we're going to change. And that when we are totally subservient to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then there's no fear. And again, you can look at this miraculously. I think you could also look at it that, you know what, when we are committed to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, sometimes, if you think about it, if we're totally committed to Kadosh Baruch Hu, there's no room for fear, there's no room for anxiety, there's no room for any nervousness, because we know we follow Hashem, we're doing the right thing. So I think this image of like the Messianic era, why things could be different, we're going to be different. We're going to be on such a level that we can take on anything and anyone. And I think it's, even though we're not in the Messianic era now, right? But still, the message is that the more that we devote ourselves to Kadosh Baruch Hu, the more we feel connected, the more we feel, this is right, then we're not going to worry about other things. We're going to worry about the right values. In other words, when we're not connected to Kadosh Baruch Hu, then we're worried about what this one's going to say, and that one's going to think, and this one and that, and the other. We're afraid of all these things. So connected to Kadosh Baruch, we know Kadosh Baruch is taking care of us. There's no reason to fear.